ending. It's my pleasure and privilege, as usual, to share these wonderful teachings that Srila Prabhupada has so graciously given us, or mercifully given us. And I'm very grateful to be able to sit here and try my best to bring these ideas, share these ideas with everyone here. Most of these things which I say, you all know. Nonetheless, the re-emphasis, the reiteration of them is what makes them solid and enables us to ultimately implement and apply them to our lives. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 5, verse number 25. I'll start with the verse. Naikatra priya samvasa suradam chitra karmanam ogena vyuyamananam plavanam shruta soyata naikatra priya samvasa Suradam Chitra Karmanam Ogena Vyuyamananam Tavanam Shruta Soyata Naikatra Priya Samvasa Suradam Chitra Karmanam Ogena vyuyamananam plavanam shruta soyata. Please chant. Ladies, please. Na. Not. Ikatra. In one place. Priya Sambhasaha. Living together with dear friends and relatives. Suradam. Of friends. Chitrakamanam. Of all of us who have had varieties of reactions to our past karma. Oghena. By the force. You Yamananam. Carried away. Plavanam. Of sticks and other objects floating in the water. Shrotasaha. Of the waves. Yata. As. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. Many planks and sticks, unable to stay together, are carried away by the force of a river's waves. Similarly, although we are intimately related with friends and family members, we are unable to stay together because of our varied past deeds and the waves of time. Please repeat. Many planks and sticks, unable to stay together, are carried away by the force of a river's waves. Similarly, although we are intimately related with friends and family members, we are unable to stay together because of our varied past deeds and the waves of time. Purport. Vasudeva was lamenting because he and Nanda Maharaj could not live together. Yet how could they live together? Vasudeva warns that all of us, even if intimately related, are carried away by the waves of time according to the results of past karma. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Umilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. Vasudev, of course, is speaking now, and as it's mentioned, he's lamenting because he and Nanda Maharaj could not live together. And then it says, yet how could they live together? Interestingly, although they are stepbrothers, and Shurasena, who is their common father, however, the mother is not common because she was a Vaishya, and it just so happens that Nanda Maharaj, instead of choosing to go the route of the Kshatriya, his father, he chose to go the route of the Vaishya, his mother, and therefore he entered the Vaishya community and became a owner and protector of cows. So it's interesting that how people are together, you know, they grow up together, they develop friendships, they become a little entangled, they have pleasures together, and then suddenly the force of, in this case, force of Krishna, because Nanda Maharaj is not under the law of karma as normal or ordinary people are. He's a pure devotee of the Lord. And so he, of course, chose as Krishna wanted him to choose, and he became a Vaishya. And Vasudev, he remained as a Kshatriya. So it's, of course, when you have pleasure, when you have some fun, or you have some appreciation or respect, or any of these feelings for a particular person, we generally like to stay with them, like to be with them, because they're a pleasure to be with. And consequently, they enliven us, they uplift us, they rejuvenate us, enthuse us, as opposed to persons who may be very, despairing, depressed, always agitated, or uninterested in things. So, therefore, we can see that Vasudev here, who has come to visit Nanda Maharaj, it appears that Nanda Maharaj, because he's there for one day and he's going to leave and go back to Vrindavan, they probably have a camp that they set up, a campsite. And so it appears that this scene is, although I'm not absolutely certain, but I don't think they construct a building for one day, to be there for one day. And so this conversation is taking place between them. And there's a great feeling of amity, a great feeling of love, a great feeling of appreciation. And at the same time, there's an undercurrent from the point of view or the part of Vasudeva. He wants to know as much as he can about his two sons, Krishna and Balaram. So he asks about how the farm's going, how the cows are doing, how the calves are doing, how the produce is going, and how the two, the boys are doing. And he hears that they're doing nicely, they're doing well. That makes him feel very good. Because, he's in separation from Krishna, and nothing would please him more than to be with Krishna. And so Krishna will grow up under the tutelage and guidance of Nanda Maharaj, which was that Nanda Maharaj prayed for. It didn't happen accidentally. He prayed for, and Lord Brahma granted his prayer, that for a certain period of time, the early years of Krishna would be guided and would be known to in a close and rather intimate way by Nanda and Yashoda, and they prayed this way before they even became what we call the manifest Nanda and Yashoda in this world, when they're in the demigod community. Of course, Devaki and Vasudev, they get an opportunity from the time after Krishna kills Kamsa. From that time, then Krishna joins the household of which he is his biological birth, namely Devaki and Vasudeva. The question sometimes comes that somebody asked me a few days ago, when was it known by Nanda that Krishna was not his son? And I had answered in a speculative way, in an incorrect way. he asked me the question. And as upon further research, I find that Kamsa was visited by Narada Muni. And Narada Muni spilled the beans, as we say, told the whole story, exactly what had happened. He told it to Kamsa. So immediately when Kamsa heard that, he wanted to kill Vasudev and just kill him. But Narada Muni said, no, why do you want to kill him? He's not the one who's destined to kill you. It's Krishna. He's the one you have to get. Of course, Narada Muni knew that Kamsa didn't have a chance against Krishna, and he wanted to just expedite this death and get rid of one more demon from the planet. So therefore, he sort of egged him on. He says, no, you have to go for Krishna, Krishna Balaram. They're the ones, they're the target. Leave Vasudev alone. He said, no, I at least have to put him in prison. I'm not going to just let him roam around my kingdom. He's got to go to prison. So that's what he did. He put him in prison, put Devaki in prison, out of this contempt of having been deceived that this Krishna, who is a male child born from Devaki, taken to Gokul, exchanged with the daughter, and he was made to believe that the issue of of Devaki, the child of Devaki, was a girl. And he felt betrayed. He felt offended. He felt insulted. And that's why he wanted to kill. So he decided, all right, I won't kill him now. After I kill Krishna, then I will kill Vasudeva. And I'll kill also Nanda, also for accepting him. He's going to kill everybody. And the irony of the whole thing, he kills nobody except himself through Krishna's fists. That's by the way Krishna acts. So this is very interesting how we see here the character of a very boastful, proud, braggart, that I will do this, I'm the Lord of all I survey, nobody can stop me, I'm powerful, I'm great, I'm glorious, I'm wonderful, just let him try. What a Nanda, I can step on him if I want. Vasudeva, he's finished. Who talks like that? Only a madman. And he was mad, no question. In fact, we have one of our presidential electors. He talks very similar to Kamsa. Same style. He had this debate with Ms. Clinton, and he must have interrupted her about 40 times. I mean, what to speak of self-control, the qualities of a Brahmin, or even a good Kshatriya can control his speech. And if you're having a debate, the proper thing to do is let the person speak when he finishes. Just put down your notes and then talk against what you want to. But interruption upon interruption, it's so full of hatred, boom, it explodes. So this is what happens. So now I won't get into the presidential, but I'm simply trying. Sometimes we like to see examples of persons who have the Kamsa quality or the Kamsa nature, and we can see to some degree, with some degree of restraint, that this presidential nominee is in that category. The big point of this particular verse and the purport is that how in this world, after we're all originally Krishna conscious living entities who decided at some time that we would like to experience what it's like to be a lord, to be powerful, to be beautiful, to be wealthy, to own things, control things, direct things, be a lord. Krishna had it all. And the business of everyone in the spiritual world is to glorify Krishna, honor Krishna, serve Krishna, be always surrendered to Krishna, and be gladdened by that. And generally a person will experience a certain degree of transcendental bliss to the degree of love, or to the intensity of love that he manifests to Krishna, Radha. But those who have a not so much strong love may not have that feeling where they're always thinking of Krishna. They may feel some independence. For example, so if you love someone very intensely, then you just think of them night and day. You can't help it. This was the mood, this was the nature, this was the expression of the gopis of Vrindavan, that they were cemented to Krishna in love. And it wasn't just a little slab, it was a big, thick, huge, humongous, infinite slab of cement. And yet there are others in the spiritual world who don't love Krishna that strongly, but they all have some love, but they still can independently step back and say, well, what does it feel like? What is it like, to get all that glorification? What does it feel like to own so much? What does it feel like to have so much fame? What does it feel like to hear the hurrah of the crowd? So when that question besets them to such a degree that it's virtually an obsession, well, Krishna just satisfies their desire and allows them by depositing them into this material world. He throws them and then covers them up with Maya, and it will allow them to fulfill this desire simply because it's bothering them and they want it. And after they have had it for some time and they get a chance, to be a lord, a person can be a lord in a father-mother situation. You have a child, do this, do that, go here, go there. You're going to go to school. I don't want to go to school, but you have to go to school. But I'm not going to. Yes, you are going to. It's that kind of a thing. So you get the chance to be the boss in a small, limited sense. And then as the child grows up, he becomes the boss in a sometimes unlimited sense. He bosses the parents, tells the parents what to do, at least in this day and age. So the point that I'm trying to make is that in the material world, we come here and we get that opportunity in various degrees. It comes, as I said, as parent and child. Sometimes friends, they have a team, they have a club. Somebody becomes the president of the club. You get a chance there. Or you might become the honorary graduate, the valedictorian. You get a chance to be a big shot there. You make the address. Or we might become a famous opera star or a musician or a singer or actor. You get fame. Krishna is all famous in the material world. Excuse me, material world, he's quite famous too. But in the spiritual world, he doesn't have any competition. So because Krishna is all known and glorified and honored in the spiritual world and by millions of people, even in this material world, who worship him and honor him and glorify him, so fame is something that people like because it gives them a heady, intoxicated feeling. It makes one feel bigger and better and greater than they actually are. Actually, that little body that they're living in is going to disappear. And all the hurrah and all the roar of the crowd will someday recede to a point of nothing. And one can only take the memory when he dies with him or her to wherever he's going. He may go up, he may go down to a lower planet, wherever he happens to go. But it's simply a memory which will keep him or her in this material world coming back. Because if one continues to remember the pleasure that comes from being adored, glorified, honored, surrendered to, submitted to, the idea of people asking for your autograph, they want your picture, they take a swatch of your clothing. What a heady feeling. Yes, I'm important. How many people are in that position? So every time a person makes a little stab at a little more success, he feels bigger and greater and grander and more glorious. And this ego bubble is just growing. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I say bubble because it's going to pop at some time, either when there will be some serious illness or when the person will actually be slowly dying. He may die slowly, he may die suddenly. In any event, when the person dies, then that's the end of the bubble pops. All the acquisitions, all the achievements, all the acquirements, all the possessions, all the adoration. You know, a person grows up, he gets older, he becomes a has-been. Even the fans that once were there for him, they found somebody new. Because he's a nobody now. He's a loser. He can't do anything anymore. So people live for this idea that they'll be a winner and they'll win forever. So as we know, and as we as devotees know, that the only winner is Krishna. And we have to keep Krishna always in the center of our life. Even though we may have different duties to perform, different obligations to perform, different responsibilities to take care of, the result is that even though we have them, we have to keep Krishna, if not in the foreground of our mind, because sometimes you can't do that due to the reasoning process that goes on and you have to reason out certain things, but it's certainly in the background. We should always have the sense that I belong to Krishna. This work I'm doing belongs to Krishna. And he has assigned me this work. That I am Krishna's employee. And I got the greatest fringe benefits in the world, which is Goloka Vrindavan. Eternal, unlimited, unstoppable bliss and peace and strength and love. In an environment where everybody loves everybody because they all love Krishna. And by extension, those who love Krishna will love one another. So that's the ultimate the ultimate wind up. But in the material world, it is generally not so. People feel loved, they feel wanted, they feel adored, but then those things, they end. And the result, of course, is that people become depressed, they become discouraged, they become despairing, they turn to drugs, they turn to alcohol, turn to different potions. So many people, even in the middle and upper class, are taking this, what they call legal drugs, OxyContin. It's a painkiller, but it's basically a derivative of morphine. And people, therefore, they're being allowed to take morphine on a legal basis, and they're gradually going crazy. That's what happens. It destroys your brain in a very slowly but surely. But they don't feel the pressure. They don't feel the points. They don't feel the pressure that comes from, as I said, being a nobody, or the pressure which comes from trying to maintain the process of being a somebody, the anxiety that one has, the worries, the doubts one may have, so many things like that. So, but a devotee is only worried about one thing, how he or she can glorify Krishna, how he or she can honor Krishna, how he or she can in every way please Krishna through the process of loving devotional service. So we see in this verse that's being made that people, you know, we come together like sand particles, they're together, you know. Then the current or the waves, they pull us apart. And this is another form of Maya. We begin to think, because I see you today, I saw you yesterday, I saw you last month, I saw you last year, and I'm seeing you day after day after day. You're going to be here forever. Would I ever even imagine that I won't see you because I've been seeing you all the time? Of course not. You see a store, it's there day after day, and you take it for granted that that store will be there all the time. You look at the beautiful leaves in the springtime, green, beautiful leaves, and you see them day after day, and you assume, yes, they're going to be beautiful and green and gorgeous. And then what happens in the autumn? They start to turn yellow and red, and they fall to the ground, and they're gone. Similarly, the stores that were here 20 years ago, they're no longer here. That's remember Balian's, the big grocery store? And now there's a medical place. And in 25 years, who knows, there may be another grocery store. And then you had Albertsons down the block, and they disappeared. Now you've got a new one, Sprouts, coming in. Things seem to go to be that they're going to remain. But in reflection, we have to understand nothing remains. Everything disappears, including our own little bodies. Here they are, gone they are. And I can see every day, I look at pictures that I looked at when I was 40 and now in my 80s, I can see definitely this body's going to die. No question about it. There are changes. No matter how high I dance, no matter how high I slap my hands, still it's going to die. I know that from other symptoms that nobody else knows about. Therefore, that is the reality. And the reality is that if we know that this body must fall, then we must make hay while the sun shines. Making hay means make use of every moment that we have to prosecute Krishna consciousness. Every time you have a moment to chant the holy name, we should chant it. We don't have to be what you call structurally engaged in just chanting our 16 rounds. You walk across the street, chant Krishna's name. You walk into the restaurant, chant Krishna's name. Oh, there's a Krishna devotee. Hare Krishna. The name of Krishna is not different from Krishna. And every time that we chant his holy name, every time that we do that, we associate with Krishna. And if it's done with reverence and with devotion and with love, and with a feeling of complete, as I said, affection and appreciation. If it is done that way, Krishna is very pleased. And when he's pleased, he blesses us in different degrees. Those devotees who are very dedicated, very fixed, and very focused, he gives more blessings. And those who are less, he'll give less blessings. Effort has a lot to do with it. Just like a mother or a father, if one of the children is showing more affection, it's only natural that the father or mother may show more affection to the child who is either needing more affection or is showing more affection. So Krishna is helping us, but what affection does he give us? He enables us to more easily come to him. He gives us his bliss. He gives us his peace. He gives us his strength. He gives us determination. He gives us understanding. He enables us to figure out things that perhaps we couldn't figure out ourselves previously. Dependent on Krishna, as Krishna says in all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. And such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness but act through false ego, you will be lost. And that's generally the way things go in the material world. Everyone works through false ego. I, mine, I'm great, I'm wonderful. Whatever I speak is the truth, even if it's false. Whatever opinions I have will be the opinions I will have forever, even though I change them tomorrow. This is what's going on. So nothing stays in this material world because its very nature is transience. Its very nature is here today, gone tomorrow. Everything we see will be gone. So we should not take it for granted that everything is going to necessarily be here. Who knows, in 50 years there may be a new temple here. It may be rebuilt. Anything's possible. We don't know at this point, unless, of course, you're a prophet. I'm happy with the present temple, so I hope there isn't any change. It's been a wonderful godsend for enabling, at least me personally, in developing and growing and appreciating Srila Prabhupada's merciful offerings of this temple and of all the great, wonderful devotees that are in this temple, which I can never thank enough because they've contributed so much to my happiness and to my satisfaction and to my understanding through the classes and, of course, through just their association. So, therefore, I just wanted to make this point, as Prabhupada makes this point over and over again throughout his books, that we should never take our bodies, that they're going to be the same. One day they will disappear. We'll get a different body, hopefully a transcendental body, a pure devotee body in the eternal world. But wherever we go, the main thing is that our prayer should be continuous. My dear Lord, please, I don't care where you send me. It's nice to go to your spiritual world, but if you want to put me someplace else because you think I can do a good job someplace else in helping others to become devotees, then please, just send me there. You want to send me to hell? Fine. But just give me some guidance there on how to deal with it and send me a good air conditioner also. A little material desire put in because, you know, we all have our limitations with this weather going on. So, yes. Or you want to send me to heavenly planets, but please don't surround me with too many beautiful dancing girls. That will harm me. I want to keep my mind focused upon you. Or if you want to surround me with them, let me see your face on all of them. So if I'm always looking at you wherever I look, then what is the problem? There is no problem. So if we achieve that level, that degree of love of God, where I look at this face, there's God, there's Krishna, because he's right there in the heart. See one face, but another face there. So the more we become Krishna conscious, the more we become, we have to, you see, our whole idea in doing this is develop this love for Krishna. How can love happen unless we actually associate with Krishna? Association with Krishna, of course, means associating with his devotees in a loving exchange way, giving prasad, accepting prasad, giving gifts, accepting gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially. All these things are very helpful for developing our love for Krishna. Those who are dressing deities and making garlands, do it, you know, with the whole heart. One should not be having some general conversation about, you know, what the prices are at Sprouts now while one is making garlands, okay? That's not the thing. When one is making a garland, one should be thinking, oh, wow, this garland is going around Krishna's neck. This garland is going around Rukmini's neck. And they have allowed me, fool that I am, nonsense that I am, they're allowing me to make a garland for their glorious necks. I don't deserve this. I've lived a sinful life for so many years, and yet look how merciful they are. Look how kind, how sweet, how generous, how loving they are. I got the job of jobs. Every service has its power. Every service has its beauty. Every service has its pleasure. So we have to find and squeeze out that pleasure through appreciation. Squeeze out that pleasure through gratitude. Squeeze out that pleasure by affection. Squeeze out by that pleasure by counting the blessings that we could be someplace else, but out of the causeless mercy of Krishna, we're here, we should cherish it, we should treasure it, and thereby beg that we may continue in it now, tomorrow, and forever. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or any comments that any of you would like to make? No? Oh, Narayan Prabhu. Yes, please. Yes, go ahead. Oh, you ping the mic so that the people on the internet can hear him. Krishna. He's over there. No, Narayan.
What were the exact factors, not necessarily the broad philosophical ones stated, but what were the exact factors that kept Vasudeva and Nanda Maharaj from living together?
The exact fact of, what is that? The factors that what? I didn't...
That prevented Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva from living together.
For one thing, it would not have been advisable for Vasudev when he was out of prison to visit, because there may have been some suspicion. Why is he going to Nanda and Yashoda? What is his, you know, what is his business there? In fact, in the name-giving ceremony, when Gargamuni he gave. Nanda Maharaj wanted to do a big celebration, and Gargamuni said it would be better not to do that. We should do it in a private, because I am the Kshatriya priest, and what am I doing down here, you see, with the Vaishyas? What's the point? He had been sent, actually, by Vasudev. So there was some degree there of wanting to not create any suspicion at all, to try to keep things under wraps. And as far as Nanda Maharaj going to Vasudev, well, Vasudev was imprisoned for a long period of time. So as far as, I don't know if they had visiting privileges during those days. It seems that they didn't, because from what is being said in the text, they have just met and they haven't seen each other for a long time. And now they are finally meeting. So I get the sense and feeling that... Devaki and Vasudeva were not having any visitors at that time. That's my only understanding there. Because they said they hadn't seen each other. They would, why not see? Of course, as we can see, that they have a great affection for one another. And if I have affection for someone and he's in prison and I'm allowed to enter into the prison, I'm going to go there. Then no problem. But it appears that there was some hindrance there, or impedance there, or problem there. Okay, that's all I could understand. Okay, any other question, please? Yes. Yes, Madhusudan.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, you were talking about how everything's always changing. And I was just, I was thinking about how Prabhupada said that, you know, this petrol-based civilization also has a limited duration. Would you like to comment on that?
You know, I couldn't get a word of what you're saying. Maybe you can come a little closer, and because the sound is splaying out. Maybe talking too close or whatever. If you just say it even without, I'll repeat your question. But the mic is not being a help. I can't understand anything. It's just kind of coming on one note, so to speak. Sorry.
Prabhupada talked about you were saying about things being temporary and changing. Prabhupada talked about how the petrol-based civilization has a duration of, when he said it, about 50.
Somebody go, please, oh, and listen, or come closer, one or the other. It's just it's not coming in close. Yeah. Can you come a little closer, Mataji? You're welcome to sit right here. And yeah, because I'm not, I like the question, sounds interesting. Sorry to keep all those who are on the internet in suspense. Yeah, we'll, soon we'll know the question. Yeah, come on up. You have to come close so that I'll... Yeah, I'm sorry to make you make all this trouble, but anyway, what... Yes, go ahead. Consider.
Yeah. Srila Prabhupada talked about the contentment. Srila Prabhupada talked about how the petrol-based civilization, the oil-based civilization...
Yes. So what he said about it, what are you asking me to comment on that, or
yeah.
On the oil-based...
Yeah,
so no, it's terrible. It's Ugra, what do they call Ugra, Ugra Karma civilization, oil based, and eventually, as we see more and more of these oil spills, which are ruining our oceans, ruining our lakes, even in Vrindavan, the Yamuna, due to industrial wastes, ruining the Yamuna River. There's hopefully some politicizing to try and stop this. Even the Ganga is being polluted. So, yeah, this is the result of Ugra Karma civilization. And ultimately, it rebounds and people just kill themselves if they continue. So, as we can see, but change takes place very slowly because of vested interests. Vested interest means I make money from my sin. And as long as I keep making money from my sin, it's good for me. But as soon as my relatives start to get killed by it, as soon as my friends get killed, as soon as everybody starts, we have to make a change. So we can see now that more and more emphasis is coming to solar energy, is becoming more, windmill energy is becoming more prominent, energy from battery energy is becoming more prominent. People want to have, in fact, just recently, many thousands of stations where you can charge up the battery of your car, which is running on battery, have been just recently established. Change takes place slowly. Generally, a lot of people have to die before the change takes place. And then finally, there's an upsurge of all those who have been harmed and injured as a result. And consequently, the changes begin. And millions and billions of dollars start to pour in, and even new industries pop up, and the old slowly but surely can go away. I mean, take the cigarette industry. Of course, it's still going on. But many people have given up smoking. Unfortunately, they have very strong advertising, and you have a lot of people in the mode of ignorance, so cigarettes go well with ignorance, you see. But nonetheless, many people have given it up, millions actually. And so it just takes a lot of time for change. But I must say, unless we have a government made up of Yudhishthirs or Pariksits, you're not going to have a perfect government. You need to have the kind of leadership that is sattvic from the top down. And then there can be. And Vanashrama Dharma has to get gradually established. But mostly a leader who is completely sattvic, who gets his guidance from the Lord, and who has the power, the potency, to persuade and convince and change people and make them like the change. This is a very special power, a potency which Krishna has and can give if and when he feels we should have it. When that will be, if that will be, I cannot say. Fortunately, I'm not a prophet. Okay? Hare Krishna. I hope I answered your question.
Thank you. today is in the Dhamma Parikrama. And then they're talking about the actions and karma of the separation.
Even your jiva.